Oh, there we go.
Yo, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
Sorry about that. I had to switch over my voice settings on this thing.
Cool. Nice. And well, you're here now. We were just watching a little bit of this interview when I was on your show, but we got Nate from Nebraska in the house. You can follow him on the various platforms. I should have had this queued up. Nate underscore Brett with two T's. Nate underscore Brett 38 on Instagram, and I'll plug your Twitter in a second. But yeah, welcome on the show, man. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just doing a long stream right now. And what have you been up to in your sphere since I guess I was on about 2 or 3 weeks ago or something like that. But how's your show going?
It's going good, man. Yesterday I really hit the Alex Jones button. I was going pretty hard for a while about the transgender shooting from Tennessee. Mm. Yeah, that's really kind of what I've been. It's so funny. I've been trying to do a show on this indictment for Trump too, and I had this whole show planned out where I was going to go how they had fucked it up essentially, and because we hadn't heard anything since they originally made that announcement, and then right as I was about to record last night, news drops that he's about to get indicted again. So I was like, oh shit. So I kind of redid everything, but yeah, man, crazy shit. Stuff's really hitting the fan right now. Obviously, and I've never seen a shooting reaction to this like this. We've seen with this recent shooting. Like we are seeing literal excuses for the shooter. Like we've never seen that before. And that David Pakman tweet, you know, multiple tweets that were put up after the shooting, just super, super messed up stuff, dude. I can't believe that. Like, we always knew that this dark side of America was there, but just to see it out in the open kind of flaunting itself is really messed up to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a couple of days now, and it's just been true for a while. No one fed posts more than trannies, dude.
Literally.
They just fed post all the time. What's your take on, I don't know, like, you know, you interviewed me, but I hadn't interviewed you before, but like, what's your, I don't know your general like take on how to handle these like people, the kind of the normie conservative thing is just like arm the teachers, which I'm certainly in favor of. Other things too. What do you think is the solution to kind of dealing with the, not necessarily the school shooter thing, but like this leftist radicalism thing?
Well, it's kind of an interesting spiral we've gone down because you could argue that libertarian like principles could be used if we were in a ancient society hundreds of years ago, you know, because everyone essentially was a Christian back then. And so it wasn't like, but right now, really, we just have to really, again, there's no really conservative politician that can really do this or has even remotely pushed us to this, but we just got to start legislating morality. I mean, we got to start legislating morality and we have to start having a strong sense of law and order, and we also need to have we also need to do some digging into what's causing all of these mental breaks, because we're not just seeing the mental breaks from the right or from the left. It's everyone's, you know, the shootings are obviously, the left-wing shootings aren't covered as much, but the mass shootings, the breakdowns that we're seeing, almost, you know, just go to a poor part of your city and you can see someone literally having a mental breakdown almost in public every single day. And so we need to figure out, and what I personally think is the answer is Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think even though the numbers make it somewhat seem like Christianity is still somewhat the majority in this country, I think that's kind of abroad. And when you look at most churches that are pushing LGBTQ and, you know, female pastors and priests and stuff like that, it kind of makes you think that maybe even the numbers that are quote unquote Christian aren't really living as such.
Right. Yeah.
And they're kind of Christian in name only.
Yeah. Yeah. The left loves to throw around this America's a Christian nation, like statistic. And it's like, but you know, it speaks in the Bible about people that, you know, say they are and aren't, and people that are gonna, you know, be condemned on the final day because Jesus never knew them and they're preaching like a different gospel. Like there's all kinds of passages about that. So it's like, what is truly a Christian? I agree with you on everything you just said, as far as, you know, we need to legislate morality. You know, we always have been legislating morality. People that think that we don't, I mean, you know, saying that government shouldn't do that is, that's a moral position on government. It's saying that it shouldn't be involved in it. And certainly, And certainly the Christianity is the solution to these kind of things. Like, so here, let me float this by. I think that transgenderism should be illegal. That's
I
kind
do
of,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, you do too. Yeah, cool. How would we go about that though? Like, someone made a joke earlier in my chat, like, yes, but what prison would we throw them in? Like, male, female? Well,
it's kind of messed up because, like, when you think about like what you would have to do from where we are now to like reverse it, I mean, it would be pretty drastic. Like, anything that I feel like I float for like an idea, you know, because ultimately I think that insane asylums are like the way to go. I think that we need to have Christian ran insane asylums, because ultimately if Christians aren't running these asylums and hospitals and stuff like that, you just don't have a moral code essentially. And you're just, you know, essentially working on experiments at that point. And people are more than experiments and they're more than drugs. And so they need to get the care that they deserve. But there's a lot of people that are just so torn up and hurt. And like, ultimately a lot of them, I think, have rejection early on in the church. Either, you know, they went and they didn't fit in, or they went and they heard something they didn't like. And so then they just go in this opposite path and they keep going and going and going. And, you know, it'll be atheism for a while, and then they'll be, you know, and that's literally like most trainees. They'll post it themselves. They are a normal person, and then they are gay for 2 years, and then they're a tranny. And so ultimately, like, we have to put them in an insane asylum and kind of almost do like what Milo says he's doing. I don't know if this is actually happening or not, but with the conversion therapy, like, I don't think people are too far gone, but I will say that the most far gone people in our society are trannies. Like, they just don't, and again, they're militant. They're dudes. Most of them are dudes that are trying to be chicks. And so like when they get threatened or when they get, you know, attacked online, they immediately go to like violence. Mm-hmm. So they're the most like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Loose cannon people you could possibly have in a society. And they're the most catered people. I mean, talk about how like black people are catered to. Good Lord. A tranny, you can basically do whatever you want in public at all time. I mean, I remember when I was in college, there was a tranny, obviously just some severely mentally ill dude. But it was the same shit. Like, she would literally, would literally just sit in the grass in the middle of campus and act like a psychopath. And nobody could say anything because it was like the one trans kid on campus. And so this is just like, and it's like, you don't want to be mean, you don't want to be hateful, but like at the same time, these people are so mentally ill and so mentally, I mean, look at these people. I mean, if they've been transitioning for a while, they have most likely been under more steroids than a bodybuilder. So think about how crazy and, you know, off the tilt someone who's on a lot of steroids can be. Then imagine that basically, but reverse, like they're not even just getting more of what they have. They're doing a complete 180. And so the mental hatred they have to have for themselves, the self-loathing, it's all really, really kind of the stuff that just pours into these crackpots. And they, as we see time and time again at rallies, obviously the shooting, go online, usually the craziest person in every single comment section is some batshit tranny. But that's kind of my thought. I don't think that they need to be like medicated, like, you know, put under or anything, but I think that they need to be, you know, again, hit with the word of Christ. And ultimately, if you can't, because some of them are mentally ill and some of them are just evil. And the ones that are evil honestly need to be thrown in prison. Because what I'm starting to see now is with all these, I don't know if you saw that, I don't know who shared it, but there's that Dylan Mulvaney, the one that saw Biden and got a letter from Kamala Harris on Women's Day and all that stuff. He's starting to do this stuff now where he dresses like a little girl. And I've seen this in multiple like TikToks. And it just it's pedophilic. And whether it's them wanting to be a little girl or whether they want to be with a little girl or no matter what it is, that's not mental illness at that point. That's just, you need to go to prison. Like, you need to be locked up. And so, you know, there's a fine line of people that were probably just abused by their therapists and abused by, you know, people growing up who are generally probably maybe could be saved. And then there's a giant, you know, I think the majority of them that are just evil, because evil exists in the world. And we have a country right now that really likes to, it's like, they like to be edgy. It's like, ha, I love Satan. I love being, you know, a comrade and a communist and all this other shit. And it's really not something that they like. It's just they want to be a contrarian. And so, you know, some of them, maybe they could get talked off the ledge, but I think the majority of them, I mean, like this chick, I mean, she was literally talking to the pastor, or she killed the pastor who was trying to help her, was saying that he loved her, was, you know, trying to get her out of this spell that she was in. And she was so evil that she was willing to go into a school and shoot a 9-year-old that he knew who he was.
Yeah, that's like, this is one of the darkest ones, man. This is very, very dark. Yeah, I mean, I one thing that someone said in the chat earlier when I was talking about this, where, you know, this guy, this black dude was just, you know, popping off on this family in the subway. And I'm just like, you know, that being like that should be illegal. Not in that, like, I don't think popping off in public should be illegal. I don't think. It's just like being like that. And do I know how to codify that into language right now? But so, I don't know. But someone in the chat said, like you and your boys need to get in power and then you'll hammer out the wording. But it's just like the same thing where it's like being like that, being like a lot of these trans people just are. It needs to be illegal and dealt with somehow. And I don't know. You know, and I know you're a fan of Nick Fuentes, as am I. Like, one of his big talking points is it's really about power. And then once the right people get in power, then we'll deal with how to actually word it, how to actually and we're both in the, you know, in the talk show business. So we need to worry about how to word things and how to present things. But it really comes down to, like, we need regime change in every single institution, and then what the tough things kind of need to be done. And I guess that's a good segue to talk about this Trump thing. I mean, like, what's your, I mean, like, to me, I'm yay 24, but he hasn't really announced yet. So I'm still kind of on the Trump train. So what's your take on the Trump indictment? What's going on there, and like what needs to be done? All that whole thing.
Oh man, it's crazy. The Trump thing, kind of like I said at the beginning, I didn't really know what to do for a while, because it was like they announced it and then it kind of, he put that thing out with the email from Michael Cohen where he was like, yeah, essentially he paid for it all out of his own thing. And then it was like, it went dark. And so we didn't know. And then the fact that he was able to post that and it went dark and the date got pushed. And then now we're back here again, almost, I think, was it 2 weeks ago? I just didn't really see it coming.
Yep. Me too.
The thing with this Trump indictment is it's obviously a humiliation ritual. It's going to obviously boost his numbers. He's through the roof right now. But I just have a hard time believing that the Republican bait, or the Republican establishment, I should say, is going to let him just take the primary. I feel like there's going to be, and again, I'd be very interested to see what DeSantis does, if he actually does help him, or if he kind of, again, DeSantis is very big about kind of like putting on these shows where he's got, you know, he knows what he's going to say, and he's kind of going to, he's either going to mimic Trump or he's going to mimic someone else. He's not really someone who goes off the cuff. Everything's very scripted for him. And so, you know, kind of like Nick pointed out last night, he was very almost anti, not wanting to back Trump at all at the beginning. And now he's, you know, seemingly tried to pull a 180. But the question is, with all of these charges, you know, the stuff going on in New York and Georgia, how much are they going to throw at him? And how much is the Republican establishment, or the Republicans in office right now, going to actually step up to stand with him and help him? Because we should have been seeing a lot more of things being done after Jan 6th. And, you know, obviously Jacob Chansley got freed yesterday, so that was a good thing. Yeah. I think Bakes getting released today, that's a good thing. Wow. But they shouldn't have gone to jail in the first place. Yeah. So it's like, I want Trump to get out and go scorched earth. And I've heard some really good things from him, to be honest. I did hear that he was planning literally like war plans with Mexico to basically mobilize and take our border, or our soldiers out everywhere and put them into Mexico. So I've heard really base things from Trump lately, but I've heard base things from him before. And I don't know if the people around him right now are going to allow him to be as base. Again, it was the same thing we had in 2016 to 2017. Yep. He wanted to shoot Black Lives Matter protesters. That would have sent an amazing message throughout the country that law and order would, you know, not be tolerated, and that, you know, this is not how, we don't burn cities down and we're upset and like this. But General Milley told him no. And you know, he eventually listened to his advisors. So I guess I just hope Trump, if Ye for some reason, you know, doesn't run, or for Ye doesn't get the nomination, Ye doesn't, you know, try to run as a third party, I would really like to see Trump just tell everyone no. Like, just say no. Like, he's already admitted that he didn't know the Washington swamp as deep as he thought he did when he became president. So in my opinion, I guess the home run, the win all is, the dissident right ever going to, you know, make a mark on a presidential campaign? Will, you know, Christian futurism and nationalism, will it finally take over, or will it be more of, you know, the Bannons and stuff like that, who are more multiracial, you know, working class populism and stuff like that? I'd really just like to see, and Trump, again, Trump has stuck up for white people. So Trump has the ability to, you know, not be ashamed of being white and being pro-white and being pro-American, but we just got to get the people around him that are based, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hire me out. That'd be a great story. I mean, I'm not very polished, but I would love, if I got the call from one of these from the Trump, you know, campaign or something like that, I would go work. Why not? I mean, life is short. I got good. You know, I think outside the box. I think that would, what about right. you? Would you, if you got the call from the Trump or the Ye campaign, would you sign
dude.
Up? Yeah.
Oh, dude, I would be the strongest soldier, man. I'm telling you, there's so much like that can be done. And, you know, really, if we could just get, you know, somebody like a Nick Fuentes, or, you know, I wish like Pat Buchanan was still doing stuff, because yeah. I'm reading a lot of Pat Buchanan right now. And, you know, he was very vocal against the Israel lobby, very vocal against what Reagan was doing, very vocal against what the Bushes were doing. And he really has hit the mark. I mean, he's old, and so he's like pro-vaccine and stuff now. But like, other than that, dude, he's basically spot on in everything. And that's one of the biggest things I have yet to kind of wrap my head around, is how we had this Christian, Catholic, anti-immigration, you know, someone who was able to talk about like racial issues, and that he was just psyoped from the public, essentially, like, you know, basically called the same things that they call Nick and that they call Trump sometimes. And that's why we need to have this movement. And I was arguing with someone on Twitter earlier, because they were talking about the different generations and, you know, how the boomers screwed stuff up so bad, and the Gen X after that really didn't do much better. And the millennials, well, they, you know, they kind of got a little better on social issues, but they didn't really enact change. And so is there going to actually be a Zoomer collective that can mobilize, that can actually, again, I'm not trying to be edgy here, but like, look at what happened with Hitler in Germany back in the day. Like, they were a very small contingent of very focused, very driven people. And, you know, there's many other examples like that throughout history, but that's what I'm kind of interested in seeing. I see the Zoomers. I interact with them a lot on a daily basis, online and in real life. And I feel the sense of urgency, and a lot of them are so censored and so put into a corner, that I think that the shaming from the public and from the media and from our government is going to eventually, you're going to see that small little wave that you're not really worried about finally get big and turn into a tsunami. Because again, look at what people are going to, a lot of male Zoomers right now, Tate, Fuentes, even this Aiden Ross guy, who I thought was a complete loser. I mean, he's even taken pretty good influence from some of these right-wing people he's talking to. And
really,
you know, he's on the anti-tranny train now. And I don't know if you heard what he said the other day. He said that his pronouns are kill them. So literally was just like Fed posting on, I'm probably going to create a kick, to be honest. But yeah, like, people are just sick of it. And again, I made a post earlier that was, you know, kind of just highlighting some of the anti-Christian animus with my kind of more of my normie crowd, like on Facebook. And I even got a lot of interactions from them, a lot of people that weren't even really like Christians being like, yeah, I'm really starting to see what you're talking about. Cause they, you cannot ignore, you know, churches getting threatened for almost 6 months straight now, like from the Roe v. Wade stuff to the trans stuff. Again, it's the National Trans Day of Hate starting tomorrow. So I'd be really interested to see if there's anything that goes on there. But again, these people are just emboldened by our government. They're, I mean, at the least, our government should be saying, all right, maybe we should start doing like mandatory mental health screenings on trannies or something like that. But they don't do that. They say, nope, trannies are the most, I mean, Biden said they're like the backbone of our society or some shit like that. Yeah. How the fuck can you say that? How does that
even work? Yeah, they don't like, yeah, they're not, I mean, creating
not even
anything.
A week after we just got a giant mass shooting. You know, again, they're talking about Dylann Roof for months because he was a white supremacist and he shot up minorities. But it's like Christians can get murdered and nobody, you know, bats an eye.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. Let me read. Are you, I don't know if you're a fan of Stu Peters or whatever. But let me read this will be the last thing we cover about this Trump thing, and I'm going to ask you some stuff about non-politics stuff. But this is a text he got from a guy named Neil Kumar. I don't know who that is, but it says this: Trump would be a fool to surrender himself or cooperate at all. If I were him, I'd be thinking about two options only: stay in Florida and trust DeSantis to follow through on the word that he just gave publicly, of course, with the understanding that DeSantis is a snake, or flee to a friendly country like Russia and declare an American government in exile. I would pick option two, were I him. Based on his past performance, though, I would expect him to surrender himself. I agree with the latter. I mean, Trump's probably just going to surrender himself. You seem like you reacted a little bit to that American government in exile option, which is very, very juicy. If that happened, that would be like peak content. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that argumentation?
Well, Neil Kumar, if that is true, that would be huge. Like, I would. First of all, I kind of was thinking about that because I read some a QAnon person who I'm mutuals with the other day they posted this thing about how like he should like make a moat and like literally have like, because like, you know how like they used to have those MAGA boat rallies? There were just thousands of boats. Yep. They were saying that they should just put him on an island essentially and like make it like a Waco situation, and where they're just going to have to crash through all the boats and sink all the boats.
Wow.
But that would be sick. And I'll be honest with you, when I interact with the Taliban on Twitter, dude, it's hard for me not to want to move to Afghanistan because like, again, we talk about the tranny shooting, and you have all these, you know, not trying to be edgy here, mostly Jews on Twitter, that's what I noticed, were coming out and saying that, I guess your prayers didn't do anything, I guess, Christian, blah blah blah. And then of all people, it's like you're in a movie and your arch nemesis, and you look each other in the eye and you go, you know what? We have a single goal. And the Taliban hopped on there and demanded that what's the guy's name? The dude that had the really messed up post, Pacman. They're like, we demand an apology, blah, blah, blah. We support, you know, religious and Christians. And I'm like, again, Russia, China, even the Taliban, they understand the dialectic right now. They understand that you don't necessarily have to be Christian to understand that Christians are getting persecuted, and that traditionalism, whether it's a Muslim traditionalist or a Christian traditionalist, are essentially going to be on the same side, except for a couple issues. And so kind of like Russia, or like Putin did after the Ashley Babbitt shooting, you know, he said, you know, he mentioned Ashley Babbitt's name before, I'd say 90% of conservatives that were elected into office at the time. And that was huge. He called her a martyr. And
wow,
that's how you get people to kind of flip the script. I mean, it's like the Ukraine thing. If you're sitting there listening to CNN and MSNBC, you think that Vladimir Putin is literally like Hitler 2.0. He's the worst guy ever. But listen to a Putin speech, and that's transcribed, and listen to the stuff he talks about. The Satanization of the West, the, you know, the LGBTQ forced propaganda that's pushed down all their throats. And, you know, he's had to deal with small uprisings like that in Russia. And I'll be honest with you, he handled it awesome. Like when the Pussy Riot was the group that was essentially going into those Russian Orthodox church nude with blood all over themselves. And again, being satanic, like literally being satanic. And he threw him in prison, and you're not going to hear much from the Pussycat, whatever, Pussy Riot gang, whatever it was, that's doing that anymore. And, you know, we always look down these countries like Chechnya and Russia and China. And China's a bit of a different story because they're not Christian. And right. So I do kind of understand the animus towards China because of how they treat Christians. I get that. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like if you were to go to the Middle East, like they might respect that you're a Christian and that like you're not like some Westerner that's scum that's just going to be, you know, a piece of shit in their country. But as long as you're not trying to proselytize and switch the nation's religion, they're probably not going to mess with you too much. And China's a sad story because obviously they haven't been Christian ever really. And there's probably never going to be a chance for them to, you know, get out of that. But at the same time, they do tradition. They do enforce some traditional values in their country. Like they do not allow the LGBTQ stuff. They're not huge on diversity. I don't know if you've ever seen the Marvel posters when they have to do like Black Panther in America. It's like obviously all the black people are in the poster. When it's in China, they all are like wearing masks. Like they're fully geared up to like not show that they're black. And so there's like there's this stuff that goes on in that we as Americans, we are so accustomed to just turning our back and saying we're America, we're better than this. But in reality, we're going to we're gonna have to make some uncomfortable changes on our on a daily basis on stuff that we have to do every day in order for us to truly become what we could become with our potential or to even reach the potential that China. I mean, China is moving at a million miles an hour right now.
Right.
Whether you agree with their labor stuff or whatever. I mean, they're going to be able to build their own fleet. They're not going to rely on – they just essentially united Russia and the Middle East and Brazil. Brazil's not even using United States currency anymore. So they're ambitious. They're the way that Americans were when we were English, you know, when we were going out into other countries and trying to, you know, take our own land and manifest destiny and whatnot. And you just don't see that anymore. What you do see a lot from America is – a lot of literally just money grabbing. America doesn't really do anything unless it has to do with a specific lobby or money. And that is why our country is essentially just a giant CEO that's ran by an atheist, because from the top down, it's all about money. And boomers and a lot of Gen X people have unfortunately been kind of into this economy first and, you know, social issues, as long as it's in your own bed. But yeah, it's just that line of thinking has really backfired on us and has brought us to where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, you definitely got the big picture in mind. That's really cool. You know, you call into the show anytime. I know you're on your lunch break right now, but you call into the show anytime. I'm down to have you on air for a video interview sometime. But last question, what do you, my voice just cracked. Like, what do you, Nate, I love your work. What do you do outside of streaming? Like, I don't know if you want to tell the people like what you do for a living or like, do you have any hobbies or anything like that? Like, what do you like to do outside of this politics thing?
Well, really, I work in what's like alternative healthcare. So essentially, I'm a physical therapist, but I don't work at like a hospital. I work at a health clinic.
Cool.
It's all like naturopathic and stuff like that. And so that was kind of one of my first early red pills when it came to like modern medicine, learning about all the stuff that we think that we take on a regular basis that we really don't need. I'm not like huge on like the dieting and stuff, honestly. Like that is a huge part of it, but I'm not like huge on that myself. But yeah, when you really look into like the metals and the electric interfacing,
yeah,
and
when
stuff
you really
like
look
that,
into
that,
like the
you know, runs through our body every day, that if you don't you know, kind of look after it, if you don't detox, it's kind of what the big point of our clinic is detoxing. But yeah, I'm gonna start doing a lot more IRL stuff. I'm actually going to be moving into a new place here within the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to have a brand new setup. I'll be a little bit more outside of the city. So it'll be way more quiet. I'll have a lot more free time. And I'm going to start doing a lot of IRL activism, probably starting tomorrow, actually. I have a GoPro and the whole setup. I'm just going to start going around town. I live in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's really liberal. It's right by a campus. And so I've kind of figured out where all the protests and stuff were at on a regular basis. And so obviously this week of trans stuff that's coming up, I'm going to probably do a little trolling. We're going to do a little trolling and a little bit of recording.
Cool. Nice, man. That's awesome. Well, yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on your work and stuff like that. And maybe if you're doing the IRL thing, I'm down to meet up in person sometime and do an IRL event together. I mean, that's one of the things I like doing the most. So
I am 100% down.
Yeah, good. If you ever have it, like, you know, if you give me some notice, I can either come out there, we can meet somewhere neutral or something like that. We can do an event together. Okay.
Dude, I would be 100% down with it, brother.
Awesome. I will plug your stuff, man. I got it up on the screen right now, but I'll probably like upload this as a podcast too. So tell the people where to find you online.
So if you want to find me on YouTube, I am at Nate from Nebraska 38. Let me make sure I said that right. Yeah, Nate from Neb, N-A-T-E from Neb 38 on YouTube. I'm on Rumble, and I'm going to be honest. The one beef I have with Rumble is how hard it is to actually find your channel. Mm. And so if you look for me, just Nate versus the Nation on Rumble, that's what my show is called. And so you can find my episodes there. And then I'm also on Spotify, again, just under Nate versus the Nation. That's the radio show that I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to start a new show. It's going to be a live streaming where I'm gaming and just kind of chatting with people. It's going to be called Nate at Night. And so that's going to be starting next week on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. So I'll be doing that. I'm on Twitch, Nate from Nebraska, Instagram, Nate Davey 38. And I think that's it. So Thank you so much for having me on, dude. Yeah. I appreciate it. I've been yearning for some more content and some more collaboration since then. So this is good to scratch my itch.
Cool. Sounds good, man. Well, yeah, I hope you have a great day. We'll talk again sometime, and I wish you all the best, man. I'll see you out on the internet. Okay? Yeah.
Yep. Have a good one, brother.
All right. See you, man.
See ya.
All right. Awesome. Nate from Nebraska. Very good. Very articulate young man. It's cool. I didn't know until today that he was into the natural health thing. That's very interesting. Might have to talk about that a little bit. Next time he comes on, that's a big world right there. I mean, you know, obviously I'm not, I'm more educated than I seem on those issues, cause I don't put them into practice too much, but I like the detox. I have an infrared sauna. Nephilim Ninja is the health correspondent, but yeah, sub to Nate from Nebraska. While we were doing the interview, while he was on the show, I set up a Kick account. So I put this link in the chat a little bit ago. Do you guys have Kick? Anyone on a browser that can check it? I mean, not check it, but because we're doing it right now. Yeah, Nate's a good guy, definitely on side. And also, I have a lot of respect for, it's like, he uses his real name online. He shows his face. He just said what town he's from. Again, it's not that I have disrespect for people that don't do that. I'm kind of neutral on people that like don't dox. I'm certainly not negative towards them. I'm not one of these like, oh, want to have something to say? Show your real face and name. But I do gain respect for a person when they do show their face, use their name. I mean, he is doxed. He doxes himself. He uses his real last name. And he also doxes his town and the field he works in. You know what I mean? So I do respect that a lot. And I wish I would have done that from day one. It wouldn't have been so as traumatic when I got doxed if that wasn't the deal. But yeah, Kick is a new platform and we're streaming there every day now. All right. Let's see if we can get Frank on the phone. I love how it just says allow to speak. You may speak. I think you got to unmute yourself, bro. I think there's a two-step process. I have to mute you, and then now you have to unmute yourself. Frank,
can you hear me?
Yeah, Frank in the building. What's up, man? How's it going?
It's going fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Yeah, welcome. Frank needs no introduction, but I will introduce him either way. You can find him at Let's Be Frank on YouTube. Also, Uniquely Us is where I think you're doing a lot of your content because you just got like demonetized or something like that. Not or something like that. That it just happened. But yeah, sub to Frank. He really needs subs really bad, guys. But yeah, welcome. He's one of my best friends. I play on his prayer stream every Monday at 9:05 a.m. But yeah, that's a good introduction, right? What are you working on these days, man? What do you got in the works as far as content?
Oh my gosh. Well, I really have been leaning into the Uniquely Us channel, especially, you know, over the course of the last 2 months. I haven't been monetized since February 9th. So between February and then I had to reapply in March 9th. I had to reapply. I had to wait 30 days because they rejected my appeal. And so I had to wait 30 days to reapply. Reapplied in March 9th. Still waiting on to hear back from YouTube right now. So that process can take up to 30 days. However, in previous times where I've been demonetized, it only had taken a couple days to render a verdict back, and now it's taken nearly all 30 days. So, you know, I'm just holding out, seeing what's going to happen. But in either case, I've really been leaning in hard to the Uniquely Us to just you were mentioning right before I came on, you were talking about sanctification and things like that, and just how important the spreading of the gospel is. And I just, you know, I've been feeling more and more to talk more about it every opportunity that I get, and just allowing God to just take control. You know, I've been worried about, you know, how are we going to make these payments? How are we going to take care of raising enough money to go on this mission trip and things like that? And just, you know, I don't know if I told you this story the other day, or I may have. I don't remember if I did or not. Typically, I like to send you cool. No. Yeah, I did. I sent you that video.
Yeah, talking about how we were able. Video that you put on your channel. That is an amazing story. So why don't you give people just a shorter version of that story, though? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, just mentioning not having income flowing in through my main YouTube channel, which was, you know, the main way we were earning income. With that being taken away, we had to meet this payment to go on this mission trip. We had to pay for our plane tickets and stuff. The church is going to help, but it's, you know, I'm taking the whole family. So it's like $2,000 per family member to go on this trip, but the church is going to subsidize some of that. But, you know, you still have to, you know, contribute some of it to the fund. And so, you know, we're stressed out. How are we going to make these payments? How are we going to be able to raise enough money to do this? You know, we just used all of what we had left to apply for our passports and send those out. And we're like, man, I said, I don't know how we're going to do this. And in a span of 24 hours, Stephen, we received two major donations to mail to us in the mail to cover that first half of the trip. Wow. It's like came out of nowhere, just 24 hours. We got one that morning, the morning of Monday, and then the following morning, Tuesday, almost 24 hours apart, we received another substantial donation by, you know, just a generous individual who said that they wanted to work, allow God to work through them to spread the gospel. And we were just blown away by that.
Wow, dude, that is amazing. Like, and we're not talking, I mean, this is, you know, no small amount of money, right? Like, I mean, this is money. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, we needed to raise $4,250. And in a span of 24 hours, between a Cash App that was sent that same day, so between it, we got three donations in 24 hours, equaling $4,250.
Dude, wow, God is good, man. I mean, goes without saying, but that's, and you know, you also told me another story about like that, but not related to this mission trip, but some, you like helped out someone. I don't know if that's a public story or something like that.
I've shared it now. I shared it a couple months ago. I shared it. I finally shared it. It had been like a half a year since it had happened. So I figured it was enough time passed to talk about. But, you know, one of my viewers had a son that was down in where the hurricane had landed back in July, I believe it was. And it was just complete devastation down there. He had no way of getting out, and his dad wanted to get him home, but he couldn't get there. He lives in Texas. He couldn't get obviously out here, and the roads were closed and stuff like that. And so, you know, I had him reach out to me. We talked on the phone. I didn't have very much money, but I was going to help. I had enough money to fill up the car twice. So one to get down there and one to get back to provide lunch. And I paid for the guy's hotel room for that night to where he was staying. I gave him all the cash I had, which was like probably $35 in my wallet. And I sent him on his way. And seriously, within a couple days after that, I had three YouTube videos just blow up out of nowhere. It was like 10 times the amount that I actually used to to travel down and to bring this guy to the bus station, set him up in a room, and send him back to his dad. The Lord had already blessed us by paying back what we did, but also more than what we, you know, initially had started with.
Wow, that's beautiful, man. Well, I'm, you know, goes without saying, you know, God has a plan for your life, man. So that's just a testament to that, right? I mean, the more, and you just preached your first sermon the other day, right?
I did. Yeah. I did Sunday. Yeah. I shared the link with you to my actual church because, you know, you're my one of my best friends, so I don't mind sharing that stuff with you. But Sharon had actually recorded it, and we put it on the channel on Wednesday. So it's up on the Uniquely Us channel if anybody's interested in going checking it out. It's like a 30-minute sermon. I talked about pursuing God's holiness and what he's called us to do. He's called us to holiness, so we have to pursue holiness. And it's really been something that I've been dealing with in my life and trying to better replicate that and live it. And, you know, as you know, Stephen, some days are harder than others to, to do that, but, you know, trying to extinguish any type of those crude jokes. One of the, my favorite jokes I would do all the time is, you know, from The Office. Oh, that's what she said, right? Yeah. It's, you know, but that's a sexual, you know, kind of a sexual innuendo joke. And we just talked about that on Monday. You and I did on the prayer stream together on the Bible study.
We were
there in Ephesians chapter 5. And we talked about that. And you're like, yeah, man. He's like, that one kind of hits, you know, because that's, you know, we're in this space. We're in this weird space that we operate in consistently. You know, we're on the internet. We're always in the public eye, whether we want it or not. We're in the public eye because anyone can look at our stuff and see who you are. And I had struggled. I have struggled over the course of the last year wrestling with what I do on the political front on my, you know, Let's Be Frank channel, and how do I square that with what I do over on Uniquely Us? Because, you know, serving God, you don't you don't put your life in these little boxes. Either you're living for God or you're not. So you can't live for God and put that away and say, oh, no, I'm going to talk about politics now, so I got to put God over here. That's not how it works. If we're truly striving to, you know, to pursue his holiness and pursue his purpose for our life, we can't sit there and just put these things in little boxes. He has to be our life. He has to be involved in every aspect of it. And that's something that I've had difficulty over the course of the last year trying to square that away. You know, when I look at scripture and you know, we talked about this before, when you look at scripture, it's easy for us to not want to look at the scripture that is going to convict us. We're like, oh, we don't really want to read that, but we need that.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I was listening to the Bible while mowing the lawn yesterday, and I hit a couple of those in the book of First John. I was like, yikes, dude. I was like, damn, like in pain over here. But that's so true. And you know what's interesting? I don't know if you if this resonates with you, but I was talking to my mom on the phone yesterday, and you know, we used to talk about like politics and current events all the time. And I also had a time of fellowship with a guy at my church last week. And when this time of fellowship with this guy at my church, we didn't talk about anything other than the word and our walk the whole time. And it just seems like earlier I took a call from a guy who's also a Christian. We mostly talked about like the Trump indictment and like this trans shooting. Right. And it just, when you are used to talking about the things of the word and like uplifting things and just actual fellowship, it seems these cursory things just seem so bankrupt, and they just seem like, you know, like they're a waste of time, or it's like, oh yeah, dude. So like Trump got indicted. Now it matters, and I support Trump, but like when you're getting into things like God's, you know, God's mercy and what the Bible says, and it just, those are the things that really matter. And when you go back to the other thing, I mean, God forbid, you know, like sexual innuendos and crude joking and stuff like that, but even stuff that, you know, normal conservatives talk about just seems like, and it's like, they're coming for our guns. I was like, okay, cool, dude. Like, well, I mean, you know, like, you know, both God and Satan will win versus guns, you know. So I don't know, does that resonate with you?
It does resonate a lot with me. you touched on it earlier today during your stream where you were talking about, you know, you're talking about the flat earth, you were talking about this other stuff, yep. And you're like, you know, all that stuff's kind of okay, whatever, because yeah, it could be this or it could be that, but you know, my focus is on God, and that's where it should be, right? All these things that are happening around us, okay, whatever, you know, we know it's going to be like this. This is, you know, what we, you know, what you read the first century churches go through. They were going through, you know, we talk about how violent we're in a time we are, or how perverse, and first century Greco-Roman world was probably way worse perverse than we are right now. And it's like, not that I don't care,
yeah,
but I care more about trying to share the gospel with people, because that's ultimately what's going to change someone's heart. You know, it's nothing I'm going to say. And that's why I've really stepped away right now from, not only because I'm demonetized, because before when I was demonetized, I would still make videos. Mm. I've really kind of took a step back, because I'm like, truly, you know, okay, I do have something to say about it, but is it going to change anybody's heart? Is it going to change anybody's mind? Is it going to do any good? And, you know, I can't do that, but I know the gospel of Jesus Christ can.
Yeah, yep, it totally can.
And yes. So I'm in that space, and that probably first time talking about it publicly right now, is that I'm in that weird spot right now, and weird in a good way, because I'm finding the things of the Bible, things of Christ, way more enlightening than anything you would read from a right wing or conservative blogger, and they're like, with their hypocrisy or whatever. Mm. I don't care. I really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm so much more wanting to focus in on, you know, getting better at knowing scripture, getting better to make it more of my vocabulary. You and I talked about this, or you may have mentioned this on Monday, where you said, where you were with that gentleman over the weekend, and you were talking scripture, and his whole conversation was able to just, it was talking about God's word,
yep,
without having to recite, you know, John 3:16 or Ephesians 5 verse 2 or 3 or whatever. He was just talking it because he lived it.
Yeah. And I've also seen that it's like I don't know. It's almost a way of, it can become so quick, like a form of boasting, your ability to recall chapter and verse. Like if mm-hmm. I say, well, it says in First Peter 3:15, or you could just say, you should, hey, it's that, you know, even saying that it's in the word, I don't know if it's boasting, but it can kind of cheapen it, where if I were to say, there's kind of three levels to it. Level one would be like, oh, it says in, First Peter 3:15 that we should always be able to give a defense for the hope that's found in us. And it's like, okay, cool, bro. Or I could say, hey, it says in First Peter. That's another level. Or I could say it's in the Bible that we should always give a defense. Or you could just say it. Or you could just say, you know, we're all, you know, I always want to be able to give a defense for the hope that's found in me. And someone could be like, what was that? I'm like, oh, well, it's in the Bible. Like, where? I'm like, oh, it's in First Peter. And almost, you can work like backwards rather than, you know, proclaiming that, you know, chapter and verse right away. You just kind of like speak the word of God, and it disarms people more when you just say the word of truth. And then if they ask you about it, great. But it's like, yeah, this fellow I was with was just like, it was just like he was pouring out the word of God. I'm like, that's from the Bible. And he's like, yeah. Like, I've been on my Christian walk for 45 years. I'm like, dude, incredibly based, right?
That is incredible. Yeah. Incredibly based as well. And I'll tell you this, Stephen, that you've actually been an inspiration to me as well, watching your transformation and how you have conducted yourself and how much you've given over to allowing God to work through you and through music and this music festival you've been putting together and all this other stuff that you've been doing. And man, I said, man, look at, because I remember when I first met you. I remember when we first connected and stuff like that. And I was still early in my Christian walk as well. And seeing this progression that, you know, we've gone through and that you've gone through has created in me wanting to continue to dive deeper into word, because I find these conversations much more enthralling than any other type of conversation right now.
Yep.
Like I'll sit there and I'll go to my pastor and I'll have, you know, these things that I've been thinking about, I've been, you know, meditating on the word of God and stuff like that, and say, hey, you know, what about this? Or how's this? How do I square this with this and stuff like that? And I'm much more interested in that than I am anything else, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a glory to God, man. It's really, like you said, we've been, I think you became a Christian about a year before me. And when we connected in 2020, you know, just for the people to get a little bit of the lore, I'm sure some people know, but I believe you approached me around the time I did that Richmond gun rally.
Yes.
And I don't remember the whole thing. I think that I saw that Wesley. Yeah. He was doing a panel of yours and I like showed his content and I went on your show after that or something like that. But man, in 2020, I was still very raw as a Christian. I was like, you know, it took a full 3 or 4 years for me to really become a little bit more wholesome, but I was raw. I was swearing all the time. But then, you know, we kind of connected from there. I was your cameraman at the, when Trump had COVID and it was a couple more, you know, we hang out on January 6th and stuff like that. But yeah, we've definitely you were with been, me. Yeah, good.
I said you were with me that following day too, after we visited, the Walter Reed Center. We also went on that following morning, which was a Sunday, around the DC area praying for people and stuff.
Right. So I was fuzzy on that. So those were the same weekend. It was Walter Reed and then the prayer thing was the next day. Okay. I didn't remember that. I was like, did Frank come to town twice? Or he stayed at my Airbnb in Lorton, Virginia. Yep. That's right, dude. Holy crap. Wow, man. Reminiscing. But that's great that your walk's going well. And I'm really glad that we lift up each other. You know, so there's a lot of times that, I mean, I think that it's just like a Christian accountability is not, I mean, I don't know if it's not like other accountability, but it's much more like, I don't know, hardcore or like serious, but also like there's times I don't want to do your prayer stream on Monday morning. And I'm like, nope. Like, nope, that's my brother. This is for the Lord. I got like, you know, you got to do it. And I pray with my mom sometimes in the mornings and it's like an appointment that it's like, if it were just an appointment with my friend, that'd be, you know, you could skip that or you wouldn't feel, you could like skip it and be like, I'll make the next one. But this is like an appointment with God. And it's like that thing that's what Christian accountability really is about. If it was just about, you know, like disappointing other people, whatever. I disappoint myself all the time. I'm a person. But it's like the God is watching and it matters what we do. So is that a big motivator for you?
That is. I actually talked about this morning on the Bible study / prayer meeting this morning. First thing I kind of led in with is that doing this Monday through Friday, the people that show up and it's grown, Stephen, and this week we've been over 50 people on the prayer meeting all week this week. And that's great. You know, cause we used to be like 20, 25, maybe topping out. And now we're double that now. But I told them, I said, a lot of you guys have kept me accountable knowing that you know, I need to be in the Word because, you know, you guys are showing up to be part of the Word and we're supporting each other, carrying each other's burdens, you know, as scripture tells us that we do for brothers and sisters in Christ. We help carry each other's burdens and praying for each other and stuff like that. I said, because of what you guys do, I said, motivates me to want to do what's pleasing to God and to show up and to lead these. I said, for me, it's become more of my culture, I guess, more of a culture for me to want to do it versus, oh man, rolling out of bed. It's like, oh man, I got to go do a prayer meeting today versus now where it's like, all right, you know, we're
almost done with Philippians.
We're having the Colossians, you know, excited.
Yeah.
And that's what has motivated me over the course of the last couple months, especially this year has been really, really trying. And, you know, a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that's happened and stuff like that. And then the loss of income and, you know, we've had, you know, other challenges and stuff, and trying to continue to keep our focus on the Lord has really been testing. And I believe it's for us to grow. And this is a growing period that I'm going through right now. Me and my family, we're going through a growing period right now. And when you go through those growing periods, you know, as you grow up physically, you'll have growing pains in your legs and stuff like that. You know, you're growing. And that's what I think we're kind of experiencing now. You know, are we going to trip up? Are we going to try to sit there and rely on our own effort in order to take care of X, Y, and Z? Are we truly saying what we believe and we're going to rely on God in this time? And that's been the challenge, because there's been times, you know, when my wife and I talk and, you know, we want to look at each other and say, you know, maybe God doesn't got this, but he does. Yeah. And he's been a parent in that. And it was funny because she said, you know, someone else, you know, contacted her. She said to me today, this is pretty new, said, hey, I'm going to send you guys a cashier check, and you'll tell, you know, when you receive it, you can tell people that I did, but, you know, the amount's between us and God. And Sharon was like, well, she says she put in the mail or it'll be here. I said, babe, I said, it'll be here exactly when we need it. When God, you know, his perfect timing, it'll show up when he needs to do whatever he needs to do. So I'm not even worried about it anymore. And that burden has been such a relief, knowing that I don't have to worry about those things. God has it. Yeah. So, you know, if anybody's listening and thinking about that, you know, that is just a beautiful type of feeling to have, to be able to go say, I know God's this, you know, I got this appointment coming up, you know, we're going to the Southern Baptist Convention, we're going to a mission trip, we're going to a music festival. I said, I don't know how all this is going to work, but it's going to work itself out, because God's going to take care of it all. So
yeah man, well yeah, I guess yeah, you said it very well. I can only think of one source that can say it better. That's the word of God. So I'll close with a little bit of scripture here. I was thinking about that when you were talking. It says in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you ever think that God doesn't got it, just like think about that verse, because it's like, yeah, but what if he just has it in a way that you can't even imagine? You know, that's really what's going on. It's just like really your like imagination. It's like your imagination regarding your own faith. Cause you're like, you're just thinking worldly, I guess. Right. Cause you're like, oh, like it's not going to work out. Yeah. It's not going to work out in the way that, you know, it's like, you know, Satan also thought he was winning when Christ was on the cross, you know, like he thought that God didn't have it then, but you know, he just had like pulled like the ultimate magic trick. He just, you know, Satan thought he won and he absolutely didn't. And it was through that death and resurrection that we can live forever with God. Right.
Yeah. And it reminds me, you know, that verse right there of Isaiah, I absolutely love this. One of my favorite ones, but it reminds me also of 1 Corinthians 3, I think it's like 18-20, where it talks about us thinking that we're so wise, but we're actually really foolish when it comes to God. We have to make ourselves foolish to actually understand the ways of God. And even then we won't even understand them to a point, because there is a mystery about God. And, you know, because if we actually knew everything about God, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he?
Yeah. 100%, man. Wow. Awesome. Well, yeah, great fellowshipping with you. And we just did, you know, we just for conservative, you know, podcasters and stuff like that, you know, we just did 25 minutes, didn't mention one current events topic other than to kind of poo-poo it and say that there's better things to talk about. So, Frank, you're my brother. I love you, man. And I'll see you out. You know, we talk all the time. But, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my pastor, I brought up the fact that one of my friends, you, is going to the SBC. And he said, he's like, do you want to go? Do you want to represent our church? So maybe might be seeing you at you know, I'll see you for the music festival, but I don't know. I got to talk to you off air about what the SBC is and maybe if I'll go, right?
All right, man. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cool, man. All right. Well, yeah, you're my boy. I'll see you out there, and I'll have everyone subscribe to Uniquely Us. I know you're trying to push that channel. So Frank does prayer streams every weekday at around 9:05, uploads content about his family and things like that, and I hope that you get remonetized, but either way, God is good, right?
God is good and yes. God is great. Absolutely, yeah, man.
Absolutely, man. Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. See ya.
All right, buddy. All right, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Frank. Love that dude. Yep. You know, it's one thing. It's like I don't know people's heart and don't know people's mind. You know, but a lot of people on the internet say they're Christian, right? And I would be interested to see. I don't know if I would like publicize this. I would like just to be a fly on the wall with most streamers when they're like borderline forced to talk about the things of God. That was the real deal right there. Frank is the real deal. The pastor at my church is the real deal. I hope that you see me when I talk about the things of God. I hope you see that I'm the real deal. It doesn't mean I don't fail. It doesn't mean that sometimes there have been times when like friends and family have brought up the things of God to me and I've failed, but I'll admit when there's a failure. With enough like, you know, hey man, look at this. Look at how you were. Look at the way that you behaved yourself in the context of being Christian. I'll hopefully admit when there's a failure. Sometimes I can be hard-headed. But I would like to see when I would like to see what the people online are like when they're like forced to talk about, to not talk about current events, forced to like actually, hey, we're fellowshipping right now, we'll do that later. You know, I would like to see that, because I can tell you that I'll tell you Frank's the real deal for sure. I'll tell you right now that Might Be Wrong is the real deal. We've fellowshipped before. I can tell you that the artist is the real deal. So I, you know, a lot of people say they're a Christian, and I'm not saying they aren't a Christian, but there's, you know, if you're always returning to the things of this world, if you're always returning to like fleshly things and just jokes and I mean lewd jokes, I mean, there's a time for I mean there's Christian humor, there's non-Christian humor, and there's like satanic humor. That's the way I kind of like think about it. Like the other day, they're talking about the other day I was at small group, and they were talking about like a pig roast, and I was like, man, I was like I was like a sweet aroma for the Lord, like present to me a burnt offering. Isn't that like in Leviticus somewhere? That's what I would say is like Christian humor, where it's like you are like, you know, talking about things of the Bible in a humorous context. But then there's stuff where you're joking about stuff that isn't sinful, but it isn't about like biblical things. And I think that's fine. It's not a sin. But then there's like literally like sinful jokes. I think there's like three styles. But anyway, that's my brother. I'll be seeing him again in person in about a month and a week. But yeah. Oh, I gotta go buy an accordion, guys. Oh yeah, great calls from Frank and Nate today. I'm gonna be chopping those up and uploading them as a podcast. I've been slacking on my podcast game.